You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen. Empowered communication. Right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome. My name is Sue Wagner. I'm Dr. Pat Allen's daughter and the director of the Dr. Pat Allen Want Institute. Before we take your questions, I want to talk to you a little bit about our sponsor, the Want Institute. Dr. Pat Allen started the Want Institute over 50 years ago to help men and women learn to express their wants and not wants with integrity and honesty, and to recognize and avoid the damaging ploys of intimidation and seduction. Some of the things Dr. Allen teaches is about male-female relationships have often been called politically incorrect, but are scientifically accurate and they work. The Want Institute currently provides facilitators that offer monthly ladies groups that will educate you with techniques for how to begin, build, and maintain lasting loving relationships. The facilitators will introduce you to basic communication skills using the techniques of Want Training as developed by Dr. Pat Allen. If you want more information regarding the Want Institute services, you can email me at info@drpatallen.com, info@drpatallen.com, or you can call the office at 949-723-0338. For the call-in number, if you'd like to call in with a question, the call-in number will be 323-203-0815. Again, 323-203-0815. So tonight we have myself, Sue Wagner, and we have another student, a coach taught by Dr. Pat Allen, Andy Shaw, available to answer your relationship questions. Andy, do you want to say hello to the audience?
Hello, audience.
Hello. So hopefully we'll get some calls. Again, 323-203-0815. If you don't have any questions, we also like call-ins telling us how Dr. Pat Allen's material helped got you into a relationship, married, or what Dr. Allen's services have done for you. I recently got an email from somebody. She's from in Denmark. She sent me a picture. She used Dr. Allen's tools, and she got married, and now she's currently has a baby on her way. And there's a lot of testimonials that ladies call in that Dr. Allen's materials work. Andy, do you have any input on that? Do you know anybody that used Dr. Allen's material and had good results?
Yeah, I've got a couple of friends, and I just sent somebody else last night some material too. So I think it lives on, that's for sure.
Oh, that's great. Well, that's my mission here. Dr. Pat, she's still alive. She'll be 91 in September, the 21st. We'll be sending out a newsletter to announce that. People every so often ask me if she's still alive. She is. She does not do any private sessions. She does have a ladies group that she has been having ongoing for a couple of years. Those ladies just sit in and kind of, I wouldn't say it's a group anymore. They just kind of come chat and catch up, and they just like Dr. Allen just to take her, well, what you might say, just be with her till the end. And it's helpful because it gives Dr. Allen a purpose in life. It's something to look forward to. And she's still alive and kicking, so that's a good point. When was the last time you saw Dr. Pat, Andy, or talked with her?
I think it was January.
Oh, okay. Did you go out to lunch with her or something?
I did. I had to bring a pen and paper.
Oh.
She couldn't hear anything I said.
Oh, okay. Unfortunately, that's the one reason that we discontinued having her on the radio show, because she couldn't hear the people very well. She can read lips, but being this is an audio format, she couldn't hear the people. So it was becoming more difficult for her to answer the questions. But today, Andy, I pulled out something, and I think you pulled it up. It's Dr. Allen's board work about her pledges. And there's a lot of pledges here that I don't even remember she ever said in her seminars. Do you remember the one about, flirting with Mr. Wrong? Do you remember that pledge?
No. What is that one?
I'll read it. I'll say, I promise on my honor, to flirt with the person I truly want, not the easy one, for it is difficult to get rid of the easy one. Remember that one? How she always used to say that you ladies always go with the guy you don't really want, hoping that the guy that you want will notice you and come over. They don't. You have to signal the guy you want or he thinks you're not interested.
Yeah, I remember, I think it's also in her book, that when you do that, it takes a really long time to get rid of them.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Well, you attracted him over with, you know, the 5-second flirt. You gave him the eye contact. So then you're stuck with them. And then knowing what enough is, that pledge. You want me to read that to you too?
By all means.
Okay. It says, I promise on my honor to never ask for more, better, or different love, affection, time together, or sex, because these must be freely given to the yang man or woman as gifts, not obedience service. 51% valuable means enough time, enough sex, enough love, and enough affection is being given to warrant staying in the relationship. That one is a hard one for my ladies in my group to understand. They always want it more, better, or different. More time, more communication, more gifts. He should understand. He knows, you know, why doesn't he do this? Blah, blah, blah. That is a big one. I'll have to bring that up to my ladies in the ladies group.
Yeah, now that you're mentioning this, I remember writing the page.
Yeah.
Looking for things I could add to it that I'd heard her say once every so often. But I'm like, I need to find what it actually said, because I did not have the good memory that the books do.
It does. And I know that you gave me a whole list of her board work. It's on our website along with her recommended book list. Anybody can go to our website, www.drpetallen.com, and there's tabs for her board work that gives all of these pledges. It has the tools list. It has some, what else does it have on there, Andy? I remember you did charts and manuals.
I'm pulling it up right now. It's got them. See, the pledges it has on that website is only the title, not the actual pledge.
Okay. Well, I don't know where I pulled this up, but it's, I think it might be under the One Institute website as well. I know that I transferred a lot over to drpatallen.com. And then there's the recommended book list that has, how many books would you say is on that?
137.
Okay. So, I mean, Dr. Allen, you know, you can kind of tell what you're looking for by the title, and then you just click it and it'll take you over to Amazon so you can read the description of it. It's that's something that you want to look into. One of her biggest book that I hear her still talking about is that Brainstorm. Have you read that book?
I have not, but now I'm curious. Oh,
Brainstorm. That was by that. Who did Brainstorm? I think you and me met him that one day at a seminar.
Probably did. Let me look it up right now. Brainstorm. Oh, General. Yeah. General Siegel.
Yeah. We met him at that one seminar. Yeah.
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 Yeah, there's. I started reading these books on audiobook because I didn't have time to sit and just sit and read, which I love doing. But I'm driving a lot between where I live right now, Ridgecrest and Chino, and it's 2.5 hours.
Yes.
So an 8-hour book gives me basically 2 trips in a few days. I'm done.
I know. I like the audiobooks because you can. It's like somebody reading to you. So I drive in the car a lot too, and it kind of preoccupies my time. Audiobooks. Yeah.
I just finished The Sociopath Next Door, which is excellent.
Okay. I want to get into that. What's the devil one?
Outwitting the Devil?
Outwitting the Devil. Yeah. I forgot about that one. I got to listen to that one again.
Yeah. I listened to that like 22 times. I love that book. And then there's the one called Outsmarting, which is not on this list, which is Outsmarting the Sociopath Next Door.
Okay.
And I found that pretty dang valuable, too. So I'm only like a third of the way through it, but it's still good.
Let me ask you, I know if you know this, you know, everybody hears about narcissists. In your interpretation, what's the difference between a narcissist and a sociopath?
Ooh, if you give me 60 seconds, I will, hold on a second.
Right now, because I hear a lot about narcissists. And narcissists, it's all about them. And they kind of make you feel inadequate. And every time you ask them a question, it always gets turned back to you know, making you wrong. So that you don't even know what's really going on. You're always spinning, like feeling like you lost something.
I have it in Kindle, outsmarting the sociopath next door.
Okay.
I think, let me check. Maybe not. Anyways, I have it in my book in my room too. So I have like Kindle audio and physical book because I'm like, oh, I have this question. I can't find it. And so now I got to go find things. But in, I know inside the, Outsmarting the Sociopath, it does have a section on differentiating between the sociopath and the narcissistic personality disorder.
Okay. What's more dangerous? I would take that the sociopath is.
Oh, I think by far the sociopath is, cause I mean, they have a hole in their brain. I mean, not a physical one.
Yeah.
Where your conscience should be.
Oh, okay. Oh, I see. Yeah.
So you can't like make them feel guilty because the feeling doesn't exist.
Oh, okay. And the narcissist, yeah. The narcissist, yeah. Dr. Pat says you can be it's healthy to be narcissist, except for you, it's hard for you to get a partner because they have to be a zero. They don't get a position.
Yeah. I remember that's her telling me too. So, what I found interesting on the sociopathy part was, like children can be diagnosed with, brain farted,
yeah.
But some kind of conduct disorder, which is a nice way of saying they're messed up because uh-huh. They don't want to give the sociopathy diagnosis to kids.
Oh, because that way they're labeled. And then when they get a label, they do their best to sometimes fit that label. Well, I'm a sociopath, so this is why I act this way.
Right.
Yeah.
But it is definitely tends to be a precursor, at least according to the book.
Okay.
To being a true sociopath.
Yeah. I read somewhere that it's not healthy to label people like, depressed, addicted or something, because then they get that label and they use that as an excuse to sometimes continue that behavior rather than work to better themselves. They just stay in that cycle of the label.
Yeah, but that fits into their, like, because I remember in the book it talks about, like, how do you identify a sociopath?
Okay.
And there was no true, like, universal way to truly identify one.
Okay.
But there's one universal symptom.
What?
Which is they all want pity.
Pity? Like victim? Or
yeah, they all want you to feel sorry for them, because if you feel sorry for them, they can get away with more stuff.
Okay. And that gives them the aptitude, kind of like, well, what do you expect from me? This always happens to me. Yeah.
Yeah. I was really angry, so I did this.
Yeah. I always heard Dr. Pat says victim has always the most power.
Always.
Always.
I'm guessing that's where she got it from, because I don't know. I mean,
well, when you listen to people and they come with their stories and they go on and on and on, pretty soon it just consumes you. You just, you know, I don't want to hear it anymore. And they always want to dump their stories on people, which can be toxic for the other person. I work with a lot of my ladies that thought, you know, I was just being a good friend, letting her dump, you know, listening to her problems. And it turns out that now she's identifying that she listens to that friend's problems, but she also goes to dump her problems on somebody else. So she's noticing that she's just like her friend that she hates listening to. So it's kind of a perpetual pattern sometimes.
What, doesn't that fall into, like, if you have one positive person, one negative person in the house, and 30 days later, what are you going to get out? You're going to get two negative people.
You'll always get, even though people stress, good is always better than bad. We know that. So positive is the good energy, and negative is the bad, you know, the devil type energy. But they always say, well, positive is a stronger energy because it's the angel, but the negative is always stronger. Yeah.
One of the things I heard in the book is like evil, bad is the absence of good.
Yeah.
And darkness is the absence of light.
Okay.
It's a frustration with the good side. When you're doing bad things, you're frustrated with the good. I thought that was a really interesting way to look at it.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So, yeah, I got a friend of mine who's also kind of dumping on me. And, I've got a little bit of training so I can handle it for some degree.
Give us the, let's say, because I shared with this one lady in my group, when somebody, if you want to go dump on somebody, what is the Dr. Pat Allen tool to make an appointment to share your feelings?
Ask for permission.
Yes. And I always tell the ladies to tell them how long you're going to talk. Give them a timeline, like 5 minutes is pretty adequate. A couple of minutes. Don't just get permission to dump and then go on and on and on.
Yeah, that same friend I was just talking about a moment ago, that he'll last an hour and a half.
That's what I mean. So, you can go and ask if you can share some uncomfortable feelings, but make an appointment to do that and tell them the time frame if they're willing to listen for 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. See if you can negotiate the time as well so the person isn't stuck saying yes and then having to be on listening for an hour like you said you did. How did you tell your friend? Did you tell him you didn't want to listen anymore?
No, I just give him a time limit. And elsewhere in the sociopath, it talks about just be boring. There gives you really some really good options on doing it. It's probably good for the narcissist too. But he doesn't know. I've tried teaching this work and he doesn't. It's not for him or whatever, but I just do the work for myself. And I think, okay, I look at the clock, it's 9:30. You have 9:38, and then I'm changing the topic or saying goodnight.
Yeah. So what was your reason to read this psychopath book? Is to be identify if some come into your life? Or what prompted you to read it?
Well, truthfully, the same friend who likes to dump on me, and I've known him for a long time.
Yeah.
He has been trying to convince me that his family member is a sociopath.
Oh,
he's been doing it for weeks and hours on end in every conversation about this guy. And so it occurred to me at one point in time that maybe he's projecting.
Oh, okay. Where he actually is identifying himself. And
yeah. At one point in time during the conversation, he admitted, I am a sociopath, and so is my brother, but I'm a good sociopath. I'm not trying to be evil.
Is there a difference?
No, there's not, it turns out. So I'm like, I don't know if this is BS or not. And I think, I don't know enough. I'm not smart enough on this topic yet. So I want to get smart.
Yes.
And after I read the book, we haven't talked in a couple of days, and I've been exceedingly boring to him, so I'm sure that's part of it. And, knowledge is power, right? So knowledge and action is even more power. I love it's very potent.
Yeah.
So what about you? Is there anything new in your...
We have a caller on. Caller, you're on the air with Sue and Andy. Do you have a question for us?
I do have a question for you, too.
Okay.
Conduct, and I'm trying to keep this brief since I know we're talking about time limit, is the difference like 5 minutes. So I have been seeing someone for about a year through Mac Online, and his profile essentially said we'd like to be friends with benefits. So there's a few early red flags that we resolved together. We've had some good times, but our conversations have stayed surface level. He's been extremely consistent, as well as I, that we value this romance, if you will, as a friendship with support and not necessarily something deeper. So throughout the course of our friendship, I've certainly tried to probe a little bit deeper in terms of where we stand, And it's pretty much as a friends with benefit situation.
Okay.
I'm moving out of the state in about 10 months into the first day here. And want to see how, what the next step would be, whether to keep things as is, or how I can close the chapter in a very healthy and respectful way.
Well, let me ask you one thing. Are you guys in a committed relationship, or are you just dating still? Did you agree to be exclusive?
We did not agree to be exclusive.
Okay. Well, so you dated, and are you just like looking up or just seeing where it goes? You haven't had a talk about exclusivity, longevity, and continuity?
We have discussed those themes, but it's, like I said, it's been very much surface level.
Okay.
I've pushed forward into that theme, and he has pushed back to keep it very much surface level.
Okay. But do you want more?
Yes, I have wanted more. I have explicitly said, let's talk about what's next in the center.
Okay. Have you read Dr. Allen's book, Getting to I Do, which goes through how to get into a committed relationship? You do the talk before you have intimacy?
I have not read the book before that conversation, no.
Okay. Andrew, do you want to help this gentleman?
My speaker's cut out in the beginning of it, so can you?
What I'm hearing is, I know you're. It's hard to hear. What I'm hearing is, you met somebody. Okay. You're kind of like friends with benefits. You want more, but he wants to keep it superficial. Is that a summary?
That's correct. Yeah.
Okay, that's what I picked apart. So does that help you, Andy? This gentleman wants more from this man, but the man wants to keep it superficial, and now it's kind of like friends with benefits. And you want to be more exclusive and see each other more on a long-term relationship.
That is correct.
Okay. Very good. Andy, do you want to help him there?
Yeah, sure. So I have a question. Trying to get my thoughts here for a moment. How long has this been going on?
A year.
How long have you been? A year? 1 year? Okay. Have you ever done the relationship contract for yourself?
For myself? Yeah.
You have. You've done the time, space, money, and play, things you want and don't want?
Yes.
Okay. In there, was there anywhere that you had a cutoff? How much time you'd be willing to give somebody before you either committed or you became open to a new relationship again?
No, there has been no time limit.
There has been no time limit?
Yeah, he said no time limit.
So that'd be the first thing I would suggest, is figure out what it is you're willing to, how much time you're willing to give and how much energy you're willing to give to somebody who's not willing to commit to you. Because, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Because they're going to, odds are really good that they're going to take as much as they can from you until you say no. And so I would propose that you ask the question again. Just, you know, they have a right not to say, and you can say, hey, just to clarify, you know, I really want to be in a committed relationship with you. Are you open to that? And if the answer is no, then say, okay, you have a right to say no. I'm now only going to give you, and then whatever it is you decide, how much time are you going to give them? And I'm going to look for somebody who I can commit to. And let them feel the pain of losing you. But
that makes sense. I guess that's the next question I have, if I can ask another. So should the answer be no, how can I make sure that this I can leave this connection without any regret or emotional residue?
Okay. Did you understand that, Andy? He wants to know, how will he know that if he's leaving kind of too soon, will he regret leaving?
Well, so is it your relation, your emotions, or their emotions you're worried about?
Yeah.
Both? Okay. So you're not responsible for anybody else's emotions. You're only responsible for you. Like if you were standing in front of me, I'd put my hands kind of above your head and, you know, build a house above you. You would be the only person I care about. And so that you're my only concern at the moment. And what you want and don't want is all that really matters in this context. You're not here for somebody else's pleasure. You're not here to help them pay for their lives. You are here to help yourself gain insight, gain happiness, learn new skills, learn new boundaries. This is only about you. So while you can feel responsible for them if you want to, I highly recommend you don't. Do what's best for you, create your boundary, and then stick to it. Because if you don't stick to it and they're going to get angry, then that's their problem. There's a really good book that says, "What You Think of Me, It's None of My Business." So, you know, all we can do is protect ourselves. And I'd really like to see you not spend time on somebody that is not going to go anywhere.
Okay, that makes sense. Thank you for answering the question. I appreciate you too. And hope you have a good rest of the day.
Thank you. This is going to be recorded if you want to go back and listen to it later. You might have forgotten some of the info. But it sounds like you want to take this relationship to crisis, which may bomb it or it may move it forward. Those are your two choices. You're setting boundaries, which may help the other person step up, or they may not be comfortable and they may go away. But that either way, you'll get moved forward to a better relationship.
Yeah, and I'd like to remind the caller of something too. Like if you're in front of me, you know, I've got my coin, right? If you're heads, it's accept them the way they are. If they're tails, you reject them the way they are. But both sides of the coin are love for yourself. If you're only going to look at the ridge of the coin, that's toleration. It's half love, half hate. You know, we get frustrated in that. We start getting irritated with that. And it ultimately doesn't end well that I've ever heard of. So when you accept them or reject them as is, it's loving yourself. Integrity is loving yourself.
That is a great recap and a reminder. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Give us a call back and let us know how it goes.
And good luck, caller.
Thank you. Well, that was a good one, Andy. He was a little hard to hear, but I could kind of put the pieces together. It was going in and out, yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad you did, because I
listen to keywords. You know, they always add in a lot of fillers, but I always just go, I listen for the keywords I need.
Yeah, I've got speakers connected to my computer and my eyes are closed. I'm like raising my monitors up, I'm trying to get as words as I can.
I always remember, because everybody I get, you know, they want to tell you this 15-minute background story. And it's like, even with Dr. Pat, just give me the main information. Everybody's the same story, just a different person.
Yeah, you know, when you're new to this, it feels like that stuff is important.
It's not. We need just to hear certain questions. There are certain questions we need to ask so we can find out what's going on. Yeah, we don't need to know the whole story on when they met, how long they, you know, where they met, you know, where they go, whose parents' house they met, their kids met each other, all of that stuff.
Yeah, they talked about Cheesecake Factory. Okay. That's wonderful.
He said we'll be together forever. And
yeah, oh my gosh.
I think there was another caller that was trying to call in. We can hear, we can only take one call at a time, and the other callers kind of get ignored. So if you were the caller, please feel free to call back. Let's see, the number is 323-203-0815. Yeah, there's only one switchboard, so one caller at a time. So hopefully that caller that was trying to call in will call back. So what were we talking about before, Andy? I know we were talking a little bit about sociopaths and narcissists. But,
I just bought the Kindle book on that.
Yeah.
I was going to look up the NART.
What's the difference, the Google difference? What is the description of the difference? Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. Narcissistic personality disorder is a condition without the amoral overtones of sociopathy. It's important to be aware of the difference and similarities between the two. The damage done by a narcissist may be equally appalling to a close friend, a business associate, or life partner, all of whom may come to be just as desperate to get him out of their lives. The narcissist can love his children, but sadly, he is also likely to deal them lifelong emotional wounds.
Okay.
Some behaviors and particular forms of destructiveness associated with extreme narcissism can be virtually identical to those of a sociopath.
Oh, okay. So they are capable of love, but it's more about all about them, them, them. They don't, from what I know, is I don't think they have empathy for the other person's feelings. They want it all.
Says the DSM-5 defines narcissistic personality disorder as a pervasive pattern of grandiosity in fantasy or behavior, need for admiration, a lack of empathy, beginning by early adulthood and present in a variety of contexts.
Yes, that's kind of what, so it's all about, I always phrase it, it's all about them.
And states the diagnosis of NPD may be indicated if an individual exhibits 5 or more of the following 9 symptoms.
What's the symptoms?
Number 1, has a grandiose sense of self-importance, exaggerates achievements and talents, expects to be recognized as superior without commensurate achievements. Number 2, is preoccupied with fantasies of unlimited success, power, brilliance, beauty, or ideal love. Number 3, believes that he or she is special and unique and can only be understood by or should be associated with other special or high status people or institutions. Number 4, requires excessive admiration.
Uh-huh.
Number 5, has a sense of entitlement, for example, unreasonable expectations of especially favorable treatment or automatic compliance with his or her expectations. Number 6, is interpersonally exploitive. Advantaged, for example, takes advantage of others to achieve his or her own ends.
Yeah.
Number 7, lacks empathy. Is unwilling to recognize or identify with the feelings and needs of others. Number 8, is often envious of others or believes that others are envious of him or her. And number 9, shows arrogant, haughty behaviors or attitudes.
Okay, so how many do you have to have out of that list?
5.
5, and how many was the list?
9.
9, okay. Well, okay. Yeah. Well, I know a few people on that.
You know,
I don't have to know with them anymore, but yeah, took me a while.
You know, it was interesting too about sociopathies. It's 1 in 25 people.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like they mentioned, I forget the disease. It was like 3-point-something. And they basically called it out of control. 40 out of 100,000 people have colon cancer.
Uh-huh.
And that was too high.
Okay.
And this is like 100 times that.
Okay.
And they talked about, like, if you're in a survival situation, you would think that sociopaths would survive because they don't care about other people.
Yes.
But in the end, historically, it always ends destructively.
Like they get sick, or what happens that they die prematurely?
Yeah, suicide is a
Ooh.
One of the things too.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Probably because it's hard for people to be around them sometimes because they're so all about them.
It did say technically, I'm reading this book, technically all sociopaths are narcissistic.
Okay.
So that's interesting.
But are narcissistics aren't all sociopaths. So narcissist is below a sociopath. Yeah.
Correct. Yeah.
So you can be a narcissist but graduate to a sociopath if you do your cards right, if you're broken enough.
Maybe. Yeah, because she was talking about in the book, she was talking about, them reading the book to me. A sociopath asked the question, should I steal? Oh, there's a difference between having conscience or not.
Yeah. Like,
for people who have a conscience, these questions don't come into existence. You know, should I take the chair away from my coworker here? Should I steal so-and-so's purse? Should I drink drink when they're not looking at me? Should I do any of these things that for a person with a conscience don't come into play? And that's why it's so hard for us to understand, like, why would you even ask that question?
It's so immoral, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Some people, you're right, they don't have the empathy for how it would affect somebody else or consequences. Yeah.
Yeah, but I think it's very valuable when you hear those questions and when you ask, why'd you even ask that question? Like, where did that come from?
Yeah.
That should be a first red flag of there's a problem here.
Yeah. Well, did you, after reading the book, what was your diagnosis with your friend?
Well, he, so he was, oh God.
On his training to be a psychopath.
He's way too comfortable telling me he's going to kill some people.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Way too comfortable with saying he's suicidal.
Okay.
So after I read this book, I'm like, okay, well, this ding, 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 right,
Yeah. That's where it starts. That's where you hear about the serial killers and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm like, okay, he's projecting. Because I talked to his family member. And there's traits, I think it was 4 out of 7 traits, are you a sociopath?
Yeah.
And I, not that I'm a therapist or anything, but I don't see all those traits. Somebody always has like one.
Yeah.
Minor.
Yeah.
But not to the degree that like it's talking about.
Yeah.
And not the amount of them. So. Anyways, he.
Because I think a lot of the women, they're always throwing out, when the guy does weird behavior, they're always throwing out he's a narcissist or a psychopath. But I think a lot of the men, so in some cases, they're neither. They're just not willing to pursue or date. They're just lazy. They just want women to chase them. That's what I'm finding. A lot of my women are talking about these men are all narcissists. And I have to. Decide that I don't know if they're narcissists. They might just be lazy and don't want to chase women. They want women to chase them. Yeah.
Or.
What?
I mean, we're all weird to some degree,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we are. That'll come to my next pledge.
I mean, normal is a sliding scale that most of us don't meet in the middle.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it could be, and I could be wrong here.
Yeah.
But it could be his willingness to be weird to you.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Actually opening up to who he is and seeing if you're interested in saying things.
That's true. One part of the thing that I tell women is a lot of times, dating is don't go into dating with the expectations to project a relationship. Go in having a good time with no expectations. Just be yourself and watch to see how he is. because I get so many women come back after the first date and they got a whole list of what this guy does. Well, how can I get him to stop doing this? I go, you're dating. You're supposed to just watch and see if that's something you can accept, but we can't change him. You know, I guess I guess the guy was talking kind of sexual or something, you know, texting and stuff. And they all want to say, how can I tell him to stop? And I'm thinking, well, why would you want to tell him to stop? That's kind of scolding him. Why don't you just let him be who he is and then decide if that's the man for you rather than, you know, telling him every time he's himself, stop doing that. You'll never know what he is. What would be your take?
Well,
to do this. Oh, I'm not comfortable. Stop doing this. Stop doing that. But it's only like the first or second date.
Yeah, that nothing will stop me. I mean, I'll stop, but I'm going to stop everything.
Well, but if you're starting to tell people what to stop while you're dating them, that could be a long list of forevers down the road. Because everything he does that irritates you, you're going to tell him not to do it. So
yeah.
He's not doing it himself. He's doing your interpretation of changing him to suit you.
Yeah, that when a woman tells me what I think, what I want, what I feel, like at the start, okay, this is only the tip of the iceberg. It's going to get much worse. Current actions, it's only going to get much worse.
Well, let me ask you something else. This is a good thing. And I'm not the moralist or I'm not the one to make the rules. But I guess, you know, like I've been on dates, you know, sometimes a man, you know, puts his arm around you as you're walking out or something, you know, or he grabs your hand, you know, endearing hand. My women, I don't want him touching me. How can I tell him not to touch me? And I'm like, oh, how would you answer that question, Andy?
Well, my first answer was the probably wouldn't say out loud would be then why are you on the date?
Well, but, yeah. Well, the reason is she doesn't want him to touch her is because she feels he's going to try and kiss her later. I said, well, why don't we wait to see if he tries to kiss you? And then if he tries to kiss you, you just say, I'm not comfortable kissing on the first date. But you're trying to protect yourself by not letting him be close or touch you because you're for fear that if he touches you, he's going to expect a kiss. She goes, yeah, I've tried to avoid it. I go, well, that's not doing a good method. Trying to be too guarded. I go, your chances of getting another date are probably zero.
I mean, do you know if she's read the 5 love languages?
I'll make a note for that because some people it is the touch. Yeah.
Well, for me, if I can't touch you, no, thank you.
Well, I said, well, what are these touches? I mean, is he groping your butt or is, you know, is he? I mean, I got to seriously ask, what is so horrible? No, he's like brushing my arm or he's putting his arm around my shoulder and I'm thinking, okay.
I mean, is she Howie Mandel and just like germaphobe?
I don't know. A lot of times these women have been molested, so they've got triggers right there. So I said, that's something you have to work with without making a man pay for that. Yeah, that's deep core issues that you might need to go, you know, that you would do best to work on yourself rather than telling men the rules of dating you.
Yeah, I mean, and it's taken a long time, but I might even ask, not that they're going to do this, but what are the boundaries up front? And then when she doesn't say, don't touch me, I'm like, oh, well, you didn't say that in the beginning, so hey, we're, you know.
Well, I mean, you know, if the guy, I mean, if the, you know, you're walking in front, sometimes the guy will hold you back. Oh, don't, you know, I mean, there's times when I don't think it's sexual touch, but it's just, you know, just kind of, you know.
Well, you know. Even like holding the door and she walks through and touches, you know, her lower back.
Yeah, they don't like that. They don't like that.
I don't know. My personal love language is touch. So, I mean, that for me is a deal breaker.
Yeah, I go sometimes touch. You need to get the touch to get the chemistry going, too. I'm not saying groping's appropriate or having them, you know, push you against the wall. But
yeah, I mean, you can also, you know, this is a first date, you know, give me some personal space.
Yeah.
You know, if you ask me for a second date, well, you know, just, You know, like we always talk about, communicate, communicate, communicate.
Yeah.
Say what you want, say what you don't want.
Yeah.
You know, let us, give us a chance to either do or not do those things, or agree or not agree.
Yeah.
Like these, it's more important to have these conversations in the daylight, standing up, fully dressed.
And not with a tone of anger or scolding, because they get mad.
Yeah, like, just tell me who you are.
Yeah.
And who you're not.
Yeah.
And then give me a chance at least to say, you know, I can work with this.
Yes.
Or I can't.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. So,
or I don't know if you're worth it yet. Let's go on another date and see if, you know, we're both kind of weirded out, because the first one's always hard.
Yeah, the first one's always weird. We only got a couple minutes. I want to read that one pledge that reminded says, it's the relationship pledge. It says, I promise on my honor, never will I commit to a finite, fallible human being. Instead, I will commit to the relationship with a finite, fallible human being. I will do my half, and I hope to God they do theirs. That is a summary right there of what we just talked about.
Yeah, and I live by that.
Like, yeah.
That, the nice thing about that pledge is it works for everything.
It does.
It works for politics. It works for work. It works for everything. Like, what am I doing?
It even worked with that last caller when he was so, you know, he does his part, and we can't control with the partner he's with.
Right. But you can't do your part unless you're willing to put in the work. Like,
yes.
Do the contract. Figure out where your deal breakers are.
Yes.
And no matter how much you like these people, decide if they're worth, I mean, you can decide not to put it into place today and ask yourself the same question again tomorrow and every day thereafter until you come up to an answer.
Yeah. I think like in him, he was a little, he, you know, it's called take it to crisis. Sometimes you don't want to take it to crisis. I tell my ladies, give yourself a time zone, usually 30 days. 30 days, evaluate and make a check. Is this worth it or not? And usually if you do it, you may have 20 days of red. This is not working. And 10 days of green. That will guide you on whether it's worth keeping or to terminate. Because like you did, you do the flip the coin. This one's a little bit more on how you feel daily.
Well, in that Want Training for Effective Living, it does talk about the dipstick worksheet.
Yeah, the dipstick. I have them do the dipstick. Yeah.
You know, this day, this moment, is this a yes or no?
Yeah.
This day, this moment, is this a yes or no? Give yourself 5 days and then count the yeses and noes, and there you have your answer.
Yeah. Give yourself your own timeline. Usually 30 days is a good timeline that I tell people. Sometimes, you know, a week. Because, you know, it depends. The week can be good, but 30 days is usually what I tell the women to. Can you do 30 days? But we got one more minute left, and then we'll be cutting out. I want to thank the caller, and hopefully we'll get some callers next week. If you cannot call in, I always will take emails and answer them on the radio show. You can email me at info@drpetallen.com. And as far as women's groups, I offer women's groups during the week. They're low cost. They're limited to 4 or 5 ladies. And I'm trying to start up a men's group for Andy when we get some men available. I'll be sending out a newsletter next month. So hopefully we'll get some men for you, Andy, and you can guide them like you helped the last gentleman. So with that, I want to say goodbye. Do you want to say anything, Andy?
Take care, audience. Thank you, Sue.
Okay. We'll see you next week. Thank you, people.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.